Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Nun Aleph, we are five lines off the top of the Amid. Ushpezich Neid Rami Bar Chama. This episode occurred with Rami Bar Chama's host. What happened was, he sold Chamra, Zavan Chamra. Some say it means a donkey. Some say chamra means wine. In any case, he undercharged. Okay, so he got less than he was supposed to. And it was actually a significant gap. It was a sixth, which is considered oina'a. He was cheated. The seller was cheated. Zavan chamra v'ta. He made a mistake on the price. Ashkechei. So Rami Bar Chama meets this fellow. And he notices Dava Otsev, he's sad looking. Amalei Amaya Tzivas, he says, what's wrong? What's the issue? Amalei, he says, Zavini Chamra V'Toi, look, I sold this thing and I undercharged substantially. Amalei, he says, Zil Hadabach, just cancel the deal. Amalei, he says, well, too late. It's past the grace period. Hashahoi Li, I waited too long. Yoyser Mekidei She'er Ela Tagar Oilik Ravi. Right? If you go past that time frame, past the amount of time that it takes to show it to an expert or a relative, it's over. I can no longer go back on the deal. And this was a seller who was cheated. Shadri the Kamei, the Rav Nachman. So Rami Bar Chama sends him to Rav Nachman to ask the question. What can he do? Amar Leh, he says, Lo Yishonu al Lekeach. You should know this time frame, this deadline, only pertains to the buyer. So if the buyer gets cheated, he only has so much time to come back and complain. But if the seller was shortchanged, he can just come back whenever. Don't worry. It's not too late for you. My time. What's the difference between the seller being cheated or the buyer being cheated? Very simple. The buyer has the item in his hands. So he can just go anywhere and show people. And people will tell him the honest truth. Value or no value. Ita or loita. Did you make a mistake or not? Right, they'll tell him. Did he underpay? Did he not? Did he overpay or not? So, since it's relatively easy for him to verify, to confirm the actual value of his item by taking the item that he has in his possession and bringing it to an expert, so we just give him, you know, a set amount of time past which, you know, you can no longer present your claim. But a moicher, the seller, who sold his item, the loinokat mikhebiyadi, who no longer has the item in his possession, how is he going to confirm value? He has to go make some research. Adi mistramili zimtuk izinte. He needs to, you know, locate an item which is similar to the item that he sold, and then make, you know, comparative evaluation. V'yoda, he'll know. Ita v'leita, see how much that sells for, and then he can figure himself out. So there, we don't limit his abilities, and we just, you know, leave it open-ended. Therefore, this fellow as well, no reason to be disappointed. You could just go back and cancel the deal. How gavra? It was a story of another fellow, davanokat varashchi. He was holding these bundles of silk. Lizvune, and it was for sale. Kari Shita, he was calling out, well, it's $6 per, 6 zuz per package. That was his asking price. But really, Bishavi HaChamisha was only worth 5. So he was asking way more than he should be. V'yavu Yavile Chamsha Upalga. The truth is, as soon as somebody would offer him 5.5, have a shakal, he would accept the offer. Asking price was 6, but really he would accept 5.5. Asa Ugavro comes along this customer. V'amar, he says like this, I want to be smart the way I do this deal. Iyahivn lechamsho palga, although I know that he's willing to accept 5.5, but if I offer him 5.5 and that's what I give him, so in a way I didn't really get cheated substantially. Because I only paid a half more than its actual value. It was worth 5 and I'm paying 5.5. Havi mechila, in which case it would be forgiven and forgotten because less than a sixth of overpayment is absorbed into the deal. as we learned yesterday. Rather than offering him 5.5, I'll give him full asking price. Etin leishita. I'll give him the full 6. And guess what? Ve'et be'ladin. I'll then call him to the bezdin to get back the full 6 that I overpaid. So by paying more, I'll be eligible for the ayinah claim and get back everything. Also, I'll commit the rabba. So he comes to rabba, Amar Lein, he says, no, you're making a mistake. Lo yishonu ala v'kech min ha-tagar. Right? So he came to rabba to claim this. No, you're wrong. When do we allow a fellow an ayinah claim? When he purchased from a merchant. Right? So you walk into a store, you overpay, okay, you have ayinah. But if you buy from a private person, there's no ayinah there. Why? Says Rashi. 5 lines from the top. Says Rashi, tachshitin. If you buy personal effects, a person's personal belongings, they have personal value, sentimental value. We fully understand that he's going to sell it, for more than its value, because it's meaningful to him, has value to him. And therefore, says Rashi, the halachas of ayinah do not take effect. It's as though the seller would stipulate, I'm fully aware of the fact that I'm overcharging, but I'm doing it anyway. And if you're willing to buy, but you can't come back and complain. Damrin l'kamon, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, ein lo ela b'ayinah. If you were informed, you can't come back and complain. Kach matzasi b'shiltes d'Rav Achai. So Rashi found this pshat in Shiltes d'Rav Achai. How Gavra says the Gemara, there was a story of another fellow that avanoket kipil izvuni. He was in possession of these nose rings, or whatever, this jewelry, offering for sale. Same story. Kari shitin v'shavi chamshin. He was calling out 60, he was asking for 60, when in reality it was only worth 50. Okay, so before it was 5, and previously it was 5 to 6, here it's jewelry, so it's 50 to 60. But the truth is, he would have taken an offer of 55. If he had been offered 55, he would have readily accepted. Comes along this fellow, and he says, look, I'm not going to give him 55, because if I do so, I'll only be overpaying by 5, which falls into the category of mechila. It's less than a 6, right? Havi mechila. I don't want to do that. Etin leshitin. Let me give him full asking price, full 60. At Biladina, I'll bring him to the Rav and demand that full overpayment as refund. Also, he came to Rav Chizda. So he came to Rav Chizda to make his claim, and he says, nothing doing. Amar Leila Ishanu. Elo B'lekech Menatakar. The halacha is only apply when you buy from a professional, from a merchant, from a dealer. Av Lekech Menvala Bayis. But buying a person's private, personal object, there ain't Elo Vayno. There's no claim of Vayno, as we explained before. Amar Leila Rav Dimi Yeshar. Rav Dimi said to him, yeah, actually, I confirm, I second this opinion. It's like Yashar Koyach, right? I also agree with this distinction. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? How can you make this differentiation between a private person and a merchant? Vanant nan, coming up very soon in the Mishnah, we learn, just as an ordinary person, private person has a dini ayno, same thing with a merchant. Man hedyot la balabayis. Who's a hedyot? A private person. I know applies to him too. Amar Chizda, no, b'tzad raiso. It all depends what he's selling. It's not about who is selling, it's about what. The Mishnah, which indicates that Aino laws apply even to a private seller, is speaking about tzad raiso, big day kanbus, Rashi says, some sort of garments. So he's selling commercially, even though he's a private person, but this is a commercial deal. He's not selling his private effects. So we treat it like any commercial deal, and there's ayinah. Avamanita shmishte, but his own personal belongings, the akiriyale, which are precious to him, which carry special meaning and sentimental value, loy mazbenu, he wouldn't sell it. He loved b'dmei seri, unless he makes a lot of money. So then we can readily understand that his mindset is, look, I know I'm overpricing. I know I'm over asking, but these are my personal possessions. And if you want it for this price, it's okay. But there's no Eino claim to follow. Okay, now we proceed to the Mishnah. We're meant to know that just as if a buyer gets cheated, he has Eino claims, likewise a seller. If he's underpaid, he has Eino. Kshem Sheino Lehedid, Kechano Letagar, like we said before, right? Eino applies to a private person just as to a merchant. Rabbi Doimi Eino No Letagar, no, a Tagar does not have Eino. The Gemara will explain exactly how and why. What happens when there is Eino? When you get cheated, what happens? Mishu Hutal Olav, the fellow who got cheated, Yodoy Adal Yonah, he has the upper hand. He has a choice of proceeding using one of two options. So here's the buyer speaking. He can say, look, I want my money back, cancel the whole deal, or refund me that difference, the amount that you overcharge. But no, how do we know this is true? That Ono applies both ways to the seller and to the buyer. Right? When you sell an item, make sure not to cheat. So perhaps this only applies to a buyer who was shortchanged. What if the seller was shortchanged because the buyer underpaid? How do we know that is also included in the Eino system? When you purchase, be careful not to cheat. There's a need for the Torah to stipulate that both seller and buyer are equally bound to the halachos of Eino. Because Rachman and Moicher, had the Torah only mentioned the seller, because the seller understands the value of the item that he's selling. So he's obligated to sell it for a fair price. But perhaps a buyer who's not necessarily proficient in true, you know, market value of the items that he's purchasing, perhaps the Torah does not include him. And does not obligate him to verify, to confirm exact prices and values. Because Rachman al-Ekeach, on the other hand, if the Torah only speaks about a buyer needing to be careful to treat the seller honestly, with integrity, Mishum de Kokani, because after all, he's gaining, he's buying a nice item. The Amr Inchi, as people say, it's a common phrase. Zavnas, he purchased the car, Kanis, you got something. So since he's benefiting, it's all gain. Look, he spent some money, but look what he has now. So perhaps he's meant to be careful, to do it honestly. But a seller, poor fellow, he's losing his item. Very often a person doesn't want to be in that position of having to sell. The Amrinji, as people say, Zavin, you sold, Ivid, you lost it. What'd you get? Some money, what you're going to spend? And right. So perhaps since in some cases is to the seller's disadvantage to have to sell. Perhaps the Torah doesn't really bind sellers with the halachos of Eino. Let him earn whatever he can get. Tzricha no, Torah says on both sides. On both sides of the equation, you have to be careful. The seller and the buyer should proceed with integrity. Rabbi Daim Eino Eino Latagar. Mishnah says, if he's a dealer, the halacha is, oh, no, do not apply to him. Asks the Gemara, Mishum Shehu Tagar, Ein Lo Eino, just because he's a salesman. That eliminates the whole Eino situation. Why don't the laws of Eino apply to him? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, no, we're speaking B'Tagar Safsor Shanu. We're discussing an agent. He buys and sells within a very short time. So basically, he knows exactly how much his merchandise is worth. He just bought it yesterday, right? So this distributor has no din oino. What does that mean? That even if he's underpaid, he has to live with it. My Tami, you know why? Meida yoda zvinte kamashavya. He fully knows the value of the merchandise that he's selling. He just bought it yesterday or today. And the fact that he accepted, payment less than then justified is just a plain mechila. He's forgiving. He's the reason why he did it was because he's trying to raise money quickly for the next deal. The reason why he sold it for lesser than value, perhaps suddenly another lucrative business opportunity cropped up and he needs the money. So he was willing to sell it for less to generate more profit on the next deal, and that's what he was thinking then. But today he has extra time, so he's willing to pursue the buyer and harass him. He's changing his mind. So according to Rav Nachman, a tagger is at a disadvantage. He can't just claim a na'ah because he was aware of the actual value. Rav Ashi, the other way around, ein la tagger a na'ah means ein beturas a na'ah. He doesn't follow the standard guidelines of a na'ah. Shafilu pochis mikdei a na'ah chaser. Typically, if it's less than a sixth, you just consider it mechila no. This merchant, this distributor, who's making has a very small profit margin on the items that he distributes, even if it's a slight disparity between value and the sale price, he only lost a little bit. He's chaser. He can cancel a deal. Why? Rashi explains because he's desperate for this profit. He's a very small profit margin. Rashi says the chayav teluyin bokach. That's where he makes his living. So the Chachamim made a takana. They expanded. They allowed him to reclaim his losses, even if it's a minor loss. So going to this approach, actually a tagger has an advantage over an ordinary person. Tanakh was said to Rav Nachman, we have a brisa in support of the first approach. A tagger can never claim, I know, I was underpaid, because he's an expert and fully aware of the value, the true value of his merchandise. Mishu hutul alav yodoy alayoyna. The mission says the fellow who was cheated has a choice on his hands. He can either cancel the entire deal or ask his extra money back. And we're speaking about the buyer, right? The lekeach who was cheated. Now, we had a brice yesterday presenting two shittos. Rabbi Nassan, who in fact gave... Rabbi Nassan who says, no, that the fellow who was cheated can merely ask that extra money back. He can't cancel a deal. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, right, the Rebbe, the composer of the Mishnah, the compiler of the Mishnah, he gave the fellow two options: cancel the entire deal, or get the disparity, the extra back. Now our Mishnah, which says that both options are provided, plus it says that I know it works both ways, whether the buyer was cheated or the seller was cheated. So this Mishnah doesn't seem to be in line with anybody in that price. Mani mas nisan, who's speaking in our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Nosson, lo Rabbi Danosi. It's not going like Rabbi Nosson or Rabbi Danosi. Why? E Rabbi Nosson, is it going like Rabbi Nosson? No. Mas nisan katani rotza. The Mishnah provides two options. Mbu brisa like tani rotza. Rabbi Nosson, when he speaks in the brisa, he doesn't provide both options. So that can't work. E Rabbi Danosi. Is our Mishnah Rabbi Danosi? Well, Masnissen Tani Lakeach. Our Mishnah says that even if the buyer was cheated, he has both options on hand. Braisa Tani Meicher, but the Braisa only relates that the Meicher has these options, not the Lakeach. So we're sort of stuck. Who's speaking in our Mishnah? Which says, first of all, you have both options. You can cancel or get refunded on that, disparity. Number two, that both the Meicher and Lakeach, the Lakeach is also provided with this avenue. Amar Balaza Aino Azu, this Mishnah hours of Aino Aino Yedem Mishan. I'm not sure who's the author of the Mishnah. It doesn't really jive with anybody that we know. Rab Amar No Lo'ilam Rabbi Nasani. Of course, the Mishnah is Rabbi Nasan speaking. That both options are provided. Utani Nami Brisa Ratzon. Go back to that Brisa and insert the word. Yeah, Rabbi Nasan also holds that both options are provided. You can either cancel or recall that extra money. And the machlokes between Rav Nosson and Rabbi Danosi is whether it applies also to the, loikeach or into the meicher. Rav Amar Leilun Rabbi Danosi, actually, our Mishnah is Rabbi Danosi speaking. That in fact, both options are provided to the fellow who was cheated. So although the Mishnah only speaks about Ilekeach doing so, but you know, the Braisa elaborates on that. Umay de Shir v'mas nisin come a parish with Braisa. The Braisa elaborates on the Mishnah. It applies to the Lekeach and to the Mecher as well. Amar Bashi de Konami Tani. Take a look, a close look at our Mishnah. It indicates as such that in fact it applies to both parties, the seller and the buyer. The Tani, because the Mishnah begins, the opening statement of the Mishnah is buyer and seller are incorporated in the laws of Ainoa. And then the Mishnah concludes by illustrating how the Lekeach will demand justice. What happened to the Meicher? So clearly, the Mishnah is just, you know, citing one of two examples. The Mishnah just left out the Meicher, but of course, the same applies to him. Itmar. Here comes a new discussion. Reuven is selling an item to Shimon. He says, look, I'm selling this to you on condition. Don't come back and claim, you know, you were cheated. Done deal. What happens now? Rav Amar, doesn't matter. Yesh lo olaveino. If he was cheated, he has a full claim against the seller. Conditions don't really change the equation. Ushmul Amar ain lo olaveino. The fact is, they had an agreement. We're not going to claim against each other. So that's it. It puts it to rest. Says the Gemara, lema Rav, shall we say that Rav, who says you can condition to undo a halachic privilege, a halachic right, Damakur Rav Meir is following Rav Meir's Shita. We'll see in a minute. Ushmuel, who says you could do so, he's going like who? Damakur Rav Yud. The son, Yehoimel Isha. A person approaches an Isha. Harayat Megadeshusli. I'm engaging you on condition that I'm not committed to the marital commitments. Amanash Enoch Alai. You have no claim on me with respect to Sheer, Ksus Vaina. Funding you know, your meals, supporting you, clothing, va'ina, being together as married, leaving that out of the marriage. Harizim kudesh, it's noy batel. Of course, the kedushin takes effect, and his condition flies out the window. Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion. You can't condition against a din in the Torah. Marriage entails these commitments, you can't get out of that. Rabbi the Omer, it depends. The financial aspects, that you can hang up. B'dava shevim momit noy kayim. Two of the three aspects, which are financial, you can make a condition on that, and basically, it's as though the other party forgave you on that, on those you know, obligations. So likewise, regarding a condition to circumvent a claims, well, Rabu says it doesn't work. That's like Rabbi Meir. You can't condition against the Torah, even though it's a financial issue. Whereas Shmuel says it works, like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalek Rav says no. I know the Amri Afil Rabbi Yehuda. My opinion that it doesn't work by Yehuda can be in line with Rabbi Yehuda as well. You know why? Ad kan like Amri Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. Perhaps it's only there by Kiddushin where Rabbi Yehuda says it works. Elo, because the Yehuda become Machla. She's aware, fully aware of her rights and privileges in entering this marriage, and she's forgiving. She's forfeiting those rights. So of course it works. Aval Hocha, but when it comes to a sale, I'm selling you this car for X amount on condition. Miyada de machel. Since when? Who says the buyer understands how much it's really worth? And at the time, he's not really expecting to be cheated. He thinks he's paying fair value. It's only later on that he's shocked to find out that he overpaid. So here, the condition doesn't really take effect. It's not done being done by consensus, really. Shmuel Omar Shmuel will go the other way. He'll say, I know the Amri Afilu Rav Meir. My opinion that conditioning by Yonah works can work even according to Rav Meir. You know why? Ad kan loikon Rav Meir Hasam. It's perhaps only there by Kiddushin, where Rav Meir says it doesn't work because elo devade ka'akar, because essentially marriage entails these aspects of commitment, and by conditioning to free yourself of those aspects, of those commitments, you're essentially tearing apart the institution of marriage. You're going against the essence of marriage. So that's going against the Torah. It doesn't work. Aval hacha, but when it comes to commercial enterprise, mi yemar de ka'akar midi. Not every sale entails to be, you know, right? So when I approach the sale and I say, look, I don't want this sale to be subject to halachas of Aynah, I'm not essentially going against the Torah, because perhaps this sale, a sale by definition, does not entail Aynah, right? So the condition can now take effect. So although ultimately I did cheat you, but so what? The condition is already in effect, because the condition not to have the Aynah claim in a transaction isn't, by its very essence, going against a clearly stipulated halacha in the Torah, because not every sale has Aynah. As opposed to marriage, every marriage entails these commitments. So to suspend these commitments you are essentially opposing a din in the Torah. Amar Rav Anan, says Rav Anan, you should know. It depends how it's said. L'didim mefarshalim nebe derash Shmuel. Shmuel explained to me that it all depends as follows. If he told his buyer, look, I'm selling this to you on condition that you will not come claim Aino against me. Okay. He can't claim Aino because he's forfeiting that right. But let's say, he says, I'm selling this to you on condition that there is no Aino element within this purchase. But there is. Hareish Aino. If he cheated him, there is Aino. So it's a contradiction in words. And therefore, there's no conditioning. That doesn't work. Meisvi, here we're going to have Akasha. Akash is on who? On Rav. Rav told us that, you know, I can be going even like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can condition by a marriage, because there it's being done by consensus, they're fully aware of what's going on, as opposed to Aino, which entails the unknown. There's no consensus. Meisvei comes Akash. That you can condition by Aino, even though there was no awareness. Rashi explains amana entails a following arrangement. It's like what we call consignment. So Reuven offered Shimon an arrangement where Reuven delivered his merchandise to Shimon, who will now sell it retail, and it'll be some sort of arrangement between them. We'll give him some sort of salary, and you know, we'll try to make the most out of this, sell it to the most he could. So whatever happens, whether he sells it for a lot, for a little, It's the owner's gain or loss. Okay, he took his chances. He left it up to Shimon, and you know, he was selling it at his discretion. Next case for Aymar Chaveri, or our case where Reuven told Shimon, "Look, I'm selling you an item. Almanas, Sheinuch Alai. You know, you can't come back and complain to me about it. You know, right? Ain't loyal. No, that's it. He rests his claim. So now the Rav de Amar, Rav told us a minute ago, I know the Amri Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. I, who say that you can't make it tonight against Aino, can be in line, even if it's Rabbi Yehuda, who allows conditioning by kedushin, because there is a consensus, there's an awareness. Aino is totally in the dark. So you can never make a condition to suspend the Aino rules. So over here in the Braisa, Hamani, who's it going like? Here it says you could. Amar Abai Machvarta, so apparently the correct approach earlier was like this. That it's a machlekes tanoim. Rav, who says you cannot make a t'nai by Aino, I'm a Rav Meir. It's going like Rav Meir that even financial conditions don't work if it contradicts the Torah law. Shmuel says it does work. That's like Rav Yehuda who says you can make a t'nai if it involves financial claims, even though it's sort of negating a Torah halacha. Rav Amar Loikash. Rav says, no. Rav, who says you cannot make a t'nai by Aino because it's in the dark, it's an unknown situation. There's no consensus, no awareness. So, and that will work like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda, by condition, who allows it, is only speaking because they understand that what's happening. We can work, we can stick with that system. And the reason why in this price, the t'nai against Aino seems to work, is because there was awareness. He informed him. Like Asha, kam bistam, when it's an unknown, then of course it can't work. But can't be mafarish. But our Bryce is speaking that he told him, look, I know I'm overcharging you for the car. They're both fully aware. Both parties are fully aware. It's by consent. It's like the case of the Kiddushin. And therefore it works, contribute them. The Sanya, as we find in a Bryce. But medvam amur, when do we say it doesn't work? Mustam. When it's unknown. I will be mafarish. But let's say he stipulated to him. Like, the seller tells the buyer, look, listen closely. The item that I'm selling you for 200, really? I know it's not worth that. I know it's worth merely 100. I'm selling to you on one condition. Don't come complaining. That's what happens. He can't complain. And likewise, a buyer approaches a seller. He says, I know you're desperate. I'm underpaying, but this is what it is. The item that I'm about to buy from you, bimana for 100, I know full and well. Boy, it's worth double. I'm buying it on condition you don't come complaining. It sticks. Because they both know. And it's by consensus. Tana Rabban. Hanoi samayis ma'amona. So back to the consignment arrangement. Here we have Ribbis concerns. So Reuben has two barrels of wine. One is high quality wine, which he knows Shimon, as soon as he gets it, he'll sell it off right away. But he has also, you know, another barrel, which is not so, it's more, you know, inferior quality wine, which he's going to have to sell incrementally, take his time, and put an effort and advertise. So he shouldn't do the following arrangement. He shouldn't give him the bad stuff, ba'amona, and have him work and sell it and eventually give him the money. And give back, you know, the Reuben the money. And the good quality wine, according to its value. Basically, he'll charge him wholesale, you know, price, $100, and have Shimon sell it off retail. And basically, he's going to sort of save on the salary, which is standard. You give your manager a salary, right? Give him some cut. Here, he's going to sort of cut the salary. Why? Because he's charging Shimon for holding on to Reuben's money. Because the easy sale, the easy barrel, that money you should be giving me now. I'm going to let you hold on to that money. And because you're holding on to my money free of charge, it's like ribis. You're like sort of holding my money. So now, I'm not going to give you any salary, any commission for selling the other barrel, which takes time and effort. So that service you're going to be providing me because I'm letting you hold on to the first money. That's ribis. The bad stuff he can't give him ba'amana that he sells, you know, incrementally and not pay him for his effort. And the other good barrel, he'll sell him wholesale and he won't take the money back right away. He'll let him hold the money and charge him for holding the money by compelling him to sell the other stuff free of, you know, without salary. You can't do that. Ella, rather be fair. Be consistent. Either both barrels through the amana arrangement. Here, take the barrels, sell it, and I'll give you some sort of, you know, standard salary for your efforts. Or he says, look, I have two barrels. Here, pay me wholesale, give me back the money, and then you sell it at leisure. And whenever we make this sort of consignment arrangement, you have to pay him for his expenses, right? The moving fees, you know, the tray of schar gamel for the camel that it, you know, he has to, you know, transport the stuff, schar pundik, a hotel, schar atzma in a noital. He doesn't have to give him his own personal salary for personal effort. Shikar nosn le schar mishon, because he paid him for that in full. What do you mean? He just gave him the raw material. There's no money yet. What do you mean he paid him? Schar mishon mecha koyav, like, where do you give him that money from? What do you mean he gave him full salary? Amar papa bitzad ruye. Oh, we had this before. These the god made of kambus. Some sort of material. Diavi Abalame, it was a standard system that you give him 100 to sell, he takes 4 for himself. He makes 4%. So when he gave him the material, it was understood that the fellow will deduct, you know, will keep 4 out of 100 as a managerial fee, and that's considered sufficient payment for his efforts. Otherwise you run into ribbis issues, because he's working on account of holding your money. So as long as you give him a salary plus his expenses, you're good. But we started today's daf with a story about a fellow who undersold his wine. And the Gemara says he doesn't have that 2-hour window of opportunity. He can just come back anytime because by the Meicher, it's open-ended. There's no time limitation. We had a chiddush that when a person sells his own personal sentimental stuff, it's understood that he might overcharge. Mishnah says the fellow who's cheated has 2 options on hand. And actually yesterday we said we don't paskin like a paskin like Rabbi Nassim, that all you could do is demand that disparity, that extra back, if it's just a sixth, right? Then we had a whole discussion regarding a tznai, right? Does a tznai work on Inoa? Rab says no, Shmuel says yes. We went back and forth, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, compare condition, differentiate between condition and Inoa, and we concluded regarding halacha of avoiding ribbis. All the best to you on Hatzlacha Rabbah.